We are joined by a voice and public speaking coach, Allison Connolly, joins me in studio. And the reason I wanted to talk to you, Allison, I thank you for coming, was you wrote a blog about the voices of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Jim Hewson and Bob Cole and, you know, Dave Randorf, Gord Miller, and a few other ones. So before we get to that, kind of you're as a voice and public speaking coach, what's that background entail?
My background?
Yeah.
Well, I was an actor, and then I was a teacher, a drama teacher. Then I worked at the Glen Rose, and I worked with stroke patients.
Okay.
And we did a
like rehabilitation.
Yes. And we did a group called the My Life's Not a Tragedy Performers, which they performed their scenes and stories about their life. And then they wrote this piece on words of courage, on how they, what happened to their lives and what they're doing now. And then I went back to school and I got a MFA in theater voice pedagogy. So that is in the drama department. And I was a voice and public speaking coach. That's what I became. So I worked a lot with actors in the drama department. And I do work with some actors one-on-one, but I really work with anyone now. I go into corporations. I do one-on-one individual coaching sessions. So that's me.
Now, you are not a diehard sports fan.
Not at all. As a matter of fact,
but your husband, Mark, of course, works in sports for like, what, 3 decades now?
A thousand years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's older than dirt, isn't he?
He's older. And I remember, I've got two stories. So one story is he took me to one hockey game when Wayne Gretzky was playing. And I said, is Mark Messier the goalie? And it was Grant Fuhr. And I haven't been back. And then one time I was taking him to the Eskimos and they were practicing. And I said, so how long do they rehearse? And he goes, no, they don't rehearse anymore.
And it's so, kind of like when they say, oh, they have nice costumes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They have nice. And, you know, even when we took our kids in sports, when they were in sports, lacrosse and stuff. And I'd say, that was a good game. And they'd say, Mom, no, you know, the ref called this or that. Or everybody got along. Nobody fought. You know, when they were little, they all had a snack.
So you would cut the oranges.
I would cut the oranges.
Okay, nice. Okay. So the reason I asked that question is, so when you went into analyzing it, you were not a fan of it. So you kind of were free of bias. You weren't like, oh, I really like this guy in football or baseball or hockey. And I read your blog with interest because, to me, Bob Cole, you know, as people get older, and there's a lot of people that get very critical of people, oh, yeah, he's not the same. Bob Cole, to me, is one of the greatest play-by-play guys ever. His voice, his ability to just inflect at the right time is outstanding. When you kind of did your analysis of Bob Cole, what did you come up with?
Well, he isn't afraid to pause, right? And when people speak, and often when they're public speaking, that thing at the end of the sentence, what's that dot? I always say, what's that dot? That's a period. And what does that mean? Stop and pause. And he waits and waits and waits so that we can see the play too. And then whatever he talks about, he's landing his thoughts so that we can understand it. And it gives us time to register what he's talking about. Another thing he does is he has this shift in volume and intensity.
Yes.
Right? So it's like he places this on a shelf. He'll say things like, I actually have something here. I've got, here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming. Look at Lemieux. Oh my goodness. What a goal. What a move, baby. Like he goes up that high, right?
Yes.
And then we all get so excited.
Yeah. He uses his voice to increase the level of excitement for,
because
he's almost anticipating, he's seen it and you're watching it. And when you hear somebody get excited, you naturally will get more excited.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're on the ride with him. And like, I'm excited, even though I have no idea what the play was about.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a great point. Jim Hewson was another one that mm-hmm. you mentioned, and articulation you found was his strong point.
He's really articulate. He's got great forward tone. And what I mean by that is his voice is in the front of his mouth where his lips are, as opposed to back here, right? If some people talk back there, that's not very appealing.
How do people know if they're talking from the front of their mouth or the back of their mouth?
Well, partly it is if they've got any kind of, this is really tense because what you're doing is you're bashing your vocal folds together.
Okay.
So if they do a speech or say a speech and they are hoarse at the end of the day, possibly they're doing that. So, and forward tone, this is one of the ways of getting forward tone is just by humming, because that, where do you hum? When you hum, you vibrate your lips,
mm-hmm.
your lips vibrate. So that sound is there. So you keep humming and this is what I teach people. You keep humming, and then all of a sudden you stop humming, but you keep that feeling, and then you say a word. It's practice.
Really?
Yeah.
What now? For because there's a lot of people out there. It's funny. The number one fear of everybody is public speaking.
Next to dying. Seriously.
That's funny. I'm probably more scared of dying for sure. The warm up. You know, it's interesting how you have athletes and anybody out there, and warm up is the key thing. If you're going to be successful at what you do in your job as an athlete, you have to warm up properly. Mm-hmm. If you don't warm up properly and you don't get your body flowing, it's just you're not going to have the same energy or level that you can reach your maximum potential. For people that are, if you're a teacher or you're anybody who's speaking in public on a day-to-day basis, should we warm up our voices more?
Absolutely.
And if so, is there simple, basic ways to warm up your voice?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you have to warm up your body. Now, Jim Houston actually goes for a run. You could do anything you want. You could even go up the stairs, even if you're a teacher, walk the stairs to your classroom and just warm up your body so that your breath goes through you easily, right? So what can we do to warm up? Humming. You can hum in the car. This is what I tell people. Hum in the car. You can.
Who's doing it right now? Hands up. Who is humming in their car right now?
You can hum, and I've got clients that do it. I've got one fellow. He lives in the north side. He goes. He works way in the south side. He is humming all the time. So you can hum. And other things are articulation exercises. Very simple. And for like tongue twisters.
Okay.
And I'm not saying you want to say it so fast, right? But you want to say it clearly. So let's say like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. We all know that, right? Just so that we're getting our P's on that. Because what happens to us is we start talking like everyone else. And so we're not using word endings. And, you know, if we're really passionate about what we're going to say and if we're talking like this, nobody understands us, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good one too. And breathing. Just take big breaths. We don't breathe to our full capacity.
And breathe through your stomach.
And breathe, right. Mm-hmm. So you want to think of breathing as deep and as low as your lower abdomen. And that's not anatomically correct because we breathe in our lungs, right? But we want to have that visualization of breathing right into our guts. Because what happens when we speak? Sometimes when we have a speech, we might run out of breath at the end of the sentence. We might be fearful. And so we're breathing in our upper chest
yes.
a bit. So that's why we want to think of breathing deep. And all you need to do, even in that car, is just breathe. So feel like you have this balloon. And the balloon's, you know how we blow a balloon? Bottom to top.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing when you're breathing in. You're breathing your bottom to your top.
Allison Connolly joins us, voice in public speaking. Coach, you can check her out at AllisonConnolly.com. Now, before we set this up, we were talking about great voices. I said, well, Vin Scully. And you're not a sports fan. You're like, who? I said, well, go listen to Vin Scully. Did you happen to have a chance to listen to Vin?
I did. And I thought, oh my God, he's fantastic. You know, I really should watch more sports.
Hey, I like that. That's good.
I don't think my husband has heard me. I hope not.
I'll text him after the show.
He's great. And you know what? You know, the whole thing too is Vin tells a story. He's a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's almost like, I said to my husband, it's almost like he's reading a book to a kid, you know, and he's using his pitch, so he's going high and low, and it's just really exciting to listen to. He's also conversational, right? At one point, he says, "I'm quoting him. If you don't mind, I'm just going to sit back and watch it with you." Wow! So he's just, you know, he's just going to sit back and watch this play with us, right? And he also takes the time. He stretches out sentences. In, I think it was when the Dodgers win the World Series in 1988, he goes, "She is gone." Like it's, you know, and we're with him. We're with him the whole way.
He is fantastic. And baseball is such a unique sport in there's so much downtime. And it's not a sport where as you're watching the TV that you're riveted to. Like in hockey, it's constant motion, right?
Right.
And Bob Cole, across the blue line, you can really make the person, wow, okay, you're coming into a scoring play.
Right.
In pitch, you throw the pitch, ball. Really nothing happened.
Yeah.
Now you've got time. He throws the ball back. You're standing there. You're watching. There's really nothing going on. The broadcaster is the whole one making it exciting and mm-hmm. making it intriguing to want to stay and watch.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's his story. He's a great storyteller.
Allison, Connolly joins me. She is a voice and public speaking coach. And also, I do know you are having one of your workshops coming up for any of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are out there, and there's a lot of people that do public speaking, or they got to get up and, oh my God, maybe I got to be an MC at a wedding.
Right.
Or anything like that. What kind of things go on at your workshop?
Well, it's a 3-hour workshop. It's called Painless Public Speaking.
Okay.
And my goal for people taking it is to gain some speech skills and to become really confident in what they're saying and to have fun as well. So it's a 3-hour. I only accept 10 people.
Oh.
It's because I want to work with you a lot
that.
And individually. And it's great because people come from all over different walks of life. And by the end, sometimes they're exchanging cards or they maybe have met someone that someone knows, you know, it's a small world in Edmonton. So it's really a good mix of people.
What's the number one mistake people make in public speaking?
They don't practice.
No.
They don't practice.
So they just show up on the day? They're not, like, lack of preparation?
Yeah.
No.
That's a big thing. I mean, there's a lot of things I would say, but you know, I've worked with people that they're so worried about the content, right? And I'm going to give you a stat right now. So how we perceive a word or a speech. So 55% of that is body language. 38% is the tone of our voice, like our pitch, our inflection. 7% is the word.
What?
7% is the word.
Really?
Right.
So that's why, because when you said, hey, I want you to tell your audience why they like listening to people, it's more so the sound and how they're delivering and not mm-hmm. what they're saying.
Mm, exactly.
Now, that's more so for play-by-play guys, not so much an analyst, per se. Because an analyst, yeah, when they break down the play, that's totally different.
Right.
Correct? Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I would think as an analyst, because it's a little bit more, they're getting into the technical stuff.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the words matter more. But as the play-by-play guy, you're listening... Just what they, the 7%.
Right. So that's why people are madly writing their speech the night before, madly writing their speech. They haven't figured out, first of all, for women, what am I going to wear? And even men, if I'm wearing a tight tie as a man, I might constrict my voice. If I'm wearing high heels, I'm not rooted into the ground. I haven't practiced. I haven't thought about going to that podium and seeing where it is visualize in my head, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of us practice with their suit and tie on the night before.
Nope. Not even graduates do that. You know, when you graduate in grade, I saw a lot of grade 12 girls. I tell you, I could have helped them walk.
Well, yeah. Well, I would think walking in high heels.
For the first time.
I've done it once.
That'd be hard for you. Yes.
Well, we did it for a charity event. And thankfully, it was very slow.
My husband has been in heels before.
Walk
as
a mile
well.
In her shoes, which is a great charity event.
Yeah.
But, everyone was expecting us to walk bad. So it was different because it's true. People do judge you. If you walk to the podium and you're in high heels and you're up there stumbling, or if you walk to the podium and you're a guy and your tie's crooked,
right?
Or your suit's ill fitting or something, that's going to totally put people off before it even starts.
Or even if you're holding a microphone, you know, I've seen a lot of the Pecha Kucha, and hold a microphone, practice doing that, because often we hold it to the side. They hide to the side.
That is the most annoying thing, is when you see people and everybody's sitting down.
Yeah.
And, you know, grandma or uncle or somebody gets up there, or even a business person gets up to speak and the microphone's down at their chest, or they turn their head to talk.
Right.
But they don't bring the microphone with them.
Right.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely the worst.
So listen, when I found out I was going to be on here, I actually listened to your Rush call.
Oh.
Some of your calls. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I looked listen to your game.
Should I be concerned? Sure. Okay.
Can I tell you a few things?
Okay.
Because I haven't, that's not on a blog. That will not be on a blog.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
Not for now. So you're extremely passionate about the game, and obviously you know so much about it, right? You listen well to the other commentator. You have very good articulation. And you have great energy doing your play-by-play. Now, the one thing that I would say about your studio announcing,
mm-hmm.
when you're with the...
The pregame you're talking?
Yeah, the pregame is that sometimes you talk as if you've got to keep that ball up. It's got to keep up. It's got to go up, stay up really high. And so there's a bit of rushing and a bit of I'm not going to say shouting, but your energy is really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's brilliant because you can actually, it's easier to bring something down as opposed to bring it up, right?
In many cases.
In
yes,
many cases.
That is very true.
In many cases. So that's the thing. And so my advice would be to just have a conversation. You're just having a conversation and you're telling the story.
And so you noticed that it was more loud in the pregame than actually when the game was
yes.
on.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And
now that you say that, I think I know exactly why that was too.
And why was that?
Because at the pregame, there's no headphones. With the no headset on that we do it there, when I have my headset on right now in studio, I can't hear any noise. Like people will come in, I don't hear anything. If I have the headphones on, when I do it live at Rexall, there's no headphones. So I hear the music. So I naturally feel I have to talk louder.
Yeah.
So I have to learn how to keep that quiet.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes. And they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you.
That's really good. For our sports fans, what do you find, and you joke that you don't watch a lot of sports, can you compare like sporting broadcasting to anything else really? Like obviously you come from an acting background.
Right.
To be a great singer, you have to have excellent inflection and all of that. Have you found broadcasters do similar training exercises to be a singer? And if not, should they?
Well, that's that's an interesting question because I'll tell you a little bit about when I met Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Mark in Greece in the musical in Fort McMurray. And he was in radio and I played Sandy and he played Vince Fontaine, the sleazy DJ. And he was working in radio at CJOK at the time. And I would say to him, he had to do an early morning thing. And I'd say, when you get up, are you going to do a vocal exercise? Oh, heck no, I'm just getting up because he did it early morning. So okay, fine, great. And I had just come from BFA acting. I'm an actor and I do all that. And through the years, I mean, like he's done this for a long time. He now does vocal exercises because he realizes how important it is.
How long does he do like a 5-minute before the show? Do you know how long his vocal exercise is?
I would have to ask him. I don't know. And you know, I think his big thing is humming. He does a lot of humming.
Now, and because we've had a lot of people texting about the humming, when you mention that you hum, do you hum for like 30 seconds and then try to say a word?
You know what I might do? And so let's talk about this humming for a bit, because also you can hum like this, or I can hum. So you want to feel like you actually have an apple in your mouth. So you have more space. Because what we want is we want to have more space in our mouth when we're speaking, right? Because if we're talking like this, we know what happens. We can't hear.
Yes.
Right? So you want to feel kind of like you've got an apple and your lips are kind of going over that apple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what I say to my clients is,
it's almost pushing your cheeks out a bit.
Yeah. Although I don't use the word push. I'll just say allow or let. Because when we say push,
it strains.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So I would hum. What I tell people is just to hum a nursery rhyme, like, you know, and then, or just any kind of even up and down your range, and then like Jack and Jill, so that you can actually keep that sound of humming and try to say a word or two in that forward tone and see what happens.
Very interesting. How can people sign up? There's only 10 of them. How can they sign
right,
up for your painless public speaking?
They can go on my website, allisonconnolly.com, and there's a link to register. And just in case you say, oh, you're late and it's closed, I'm offering them every month at Château-Lacombe.
Château-Lacombe.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is?
September 13th. I'm doing August 9th. I'm not doing July. August 9th, September 13th.
Is August 9th sold out already?
Nope.
Okay, so you can get in August 9th or September 13th. It's 3 hours, painless public speaking. Allison, I really enjoyed your blog, so hopefully when the hockey season comes around, you could do another one on some other hockey people.
I'd love to, and I'll have to watch some more hockey.
Well, there, that's
and
a bonus.
And I think this is going to be an exciting time.
There you go. Well, that McDavid kid.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know.
He's not bad, I hear.
I hear that.
Oh, there's a lot of talk about him. I think he'll be pretty good. He does a lot of like training similar to how people should do voice training. I think that's what he's done to be successful. It's pretty good. Allison, I really appreciate this. Very insightful stuff. Thank you very much.